This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه وخليله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره الكافرون وأشهد أنه بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح للأمة وكشف الله جل وعلا به الغمة فتركنا على البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك فصلوات الله وسلامه وتبركاته عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله سبحانه وتعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار ثم أما بعد. Brothers and sisters in Islam, as children we are taught many stories. Some of them are to put us to sleep. Others of them are to entertain us. And the best of them are those that teach us morals and manners. Brothers and sisters, one of the best stories that we were told as children is the story of the ant and the grasshopper. The grasshopper would live day by day. Each day when he needed something, he would go out and fetch it. And this was the same whether it was winter or summer. Whereas the ant, it was the opposite. The ant would always prepare for the future. Whether it was in the summer or in the winter, he was always preparing for it. And like is our situation out here today, in such days during the winter, it is very hard to prepare for that day. And if you did not prepare for it in advance, you would not succeed in your daily tasks. And such, the ant was successful and the grasshopper was unsuccessful. Because when winter time came, the grasshopper had not planned for it. And he had not gathered the food that he needed, and he had not prepared his shelter. Whereas the ant had gathered its food. It had its shelter ready, so when winter came, it was able to do what it had to do to survive. Brothers and sisters, this story teaches a very important lesson. And that is the lesson of preparing for the future. And this is something that our Sharia and the text of the Quran and the Sunnah actually incite in us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hashr, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَالْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ. That O you who believe, let fear Allah and let every soul look forth to what it is coming tomorrow. Meaning to prepare what is coming for tomorrow. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah is specifically referring to the Day of Judgment. It's specifically referring to the Day of Judgment. He says, prepare for the Day of Judgment. But we have a principle in tafsir that lessons from ayahs are not derived due to their context. Meaning that even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specified Yawm al-Qiyamah for this ayah, it doesn't mean that we can't use this ayah in other instances as well. It says, الْعِبْرَةُ بِعُمُومِ اللَّفْظِ لَا بِخُصُوصِ السَّبَبِ. That we derive lessons not due to the context of revelation, but due to what we can derive from the generality of the wording. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that every soul look forth to what it is putting forth for tomorrow. Brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to prepare for the future. And it is of great sadness that this ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has forgotten this concept. and specifically the community of Montreal, and even more specifically the community of the South Shore. And I will expand on it even further. But let us take another example. A man came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, Ya Rasulullah, mata as-sa'ah. Ya Rasulullah, when is the hour going to come? When is Yawm al-Qiyamah going to happen? The Prophet ﷺ could have told him, you know, it's going to happen in 10 years, it's going to happen in 100 years, it's going to happen in 600 years. But rather than telling him and putting the man in a state where he would become unprepared, in a state where he would not be worrisome, he told him, وَمَا أَعْدَدْتَ لَهَا, and what have you prepared for it? He asked him, what have you prepared for Yawm al-Qiyamah? Again, the Prophet ﷺ is inciting that concept of planning and preparing for the future. Brothers and sisters, in order to achieve any goal in our lives and achieve any objective, we have to first figure out what our objective and goal is. And then after that, we have to take practical steps towards it. Now let us look at the state of this ummah in Montreal. In Montreal, we have close to 100,000 Muslims. 100,000 Muslims. And in the South Shore, we have two masajids now. And each masjid will approximately get, let's say, about 7,000 people or 5,000 people for Eid Salah. And each of them will have children. And each of them will have brothers and sisters. And each of them will have aunties and uncles and mothers and fathers. Yet why is it this community of the South Shore, with all of its Muslim population, has still not established a Muslim school yet? Why is it that this community in the South Shore still cannot agree as to which day they will celebrate Eid together? Why is it that we have so many Muslim engineers and accountants, yet we have no Muslim firms to employ them? Why is it we have so many Muslim doctors, yet we do not have a Muslim hospital as of yet? Brothers and sisters, it's because no one takes the time to plan. When our wives get pregnant, when our sisters get pregnant, and we have to take them to a non-Muslim gynecologist, or we have to take them to a male gynecologist, do we not feel that pain? Why is it that pain only lasts for a few moments? Why doesn't that pain last forever? Such that we would build those Muslim hospitals so that we can serve the needs of our sisters in Islam. And we don't have to degrade them by going to male doctors. Brothers and sisters, this is something to think about. Each individual has a responsibility of thinking about goals and objectives. What goals do you want to achieve in your life? Jannah is the ultimate aspiration for each individual. And that is a beautiful aspiration. But likewise, you have to think about yourselves and your community and your family. What have you done for them? Is it enough that you just provide bread and butter for them on the tables? Brothers and sisters, this is not enough. If you do not look after your families, and do not educate them, and do not grant them the tarbiyah that they need to live in such a society, you are destinating them for destruction. You yourselves are plotting a path for their destruction. Brothers and sisters, think about this. That you raise an individual, you have your young Muslim sister, your young daughter, you want her to grow up as a good Muslimah, a Muslimah who will protect her chastity, a Muslimah who knows how to interact with other individuals. A Muslimah who knows just as much about her deen as she knows about her dunya. Yet when you don't send her to a Muslim school, and you don't encourage her to keep Muslim friends, how do you expect to achieve this goal? Islam will not be attained overnight, but rather it takes time. When you look at the example of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the revelation of the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Qur'an for 13 years in Mecca, increasing the iman of the Muslims. For 13 years, this is all that was happening. Increasing of iman. No ahkam of the sharia, no rulings of sharia, no rulings of fiqh were revealed during that time. And then after their iman had increased, that is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them about prohibitions and permissibility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He prohibited alcohol, He didn't just tell the believers, stop drinking alcohol. Because it wasn't logical at that time. People who were addicted to something, you can't tell them to leave it overnight. But you increase their iman. And at the same time, you say, don't drink it when you're coming to salah. This is something feasible. This is something that they can achieve. And likely this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited alcohol and prohibited the other prohibitions. And such we have to be with our children. that when you raise them up, you teach them about Islam, you teach them about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you teach them about Jannah and Jahannam. And you do this for 13, 14 years, and then you let them live in a society like this, and yes, they might survive. But when you leave your children uneducated, when you don't take the time to teach them what they need to know to survive, brothers and sisters, you might as well throw them in a well, because you are leading them towards destruction. And now many people may think that building an Islamic school in the South Shore is something unfeasible. But let me remind you of the statement of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said, "Allahu 'inda dhanni 'abdi," that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as the slave thinks of him. So if you think as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as someone who is merciful, and someone you can rely upon, and someone who will help you in your goals, then you will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such a state. But an individual who thinks that he is doomed, and everything he does is, you know, doomed, and there is no future for it, and he is someone who is very pessimistic, then thus his results will be the same. He will have no objectives, and then he will thus be left to achieve no objectives as well. Brothers and sisters, there's a famous saying, even in English philosophy, that he who fails to plan, plans to fail. That those people who don't take the steps to plan events and plan their goals and objectives, it is as if they are planning to fail, meaning that they do not want anything else other than failure. So now think about all the objectives. Think about what this community needs. We mentioned a Muslim hospital. Again, we have so many Muslim doctors, yet where are the Muslim hospitals? We have so many Muslim accountants and engineers, but where are the Muslim engineering firms and the Muslim accounting firms? Likewise, we have so many other professions. We have so many Muslim teachers. In the South Shore, I know two brothers that are my age who are Muslim teachers. Yet where is the Islamic school for them to teach in? This responsibility is not left for the imams of the masjids and not for the administration of the masajid, but it is a responsibility upon each and every individual. Brothers and sisters, think about the goals that you want to achieve. Think about how you can help the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Get the brothers and sisters together and see how you can make it feasible. Because in order for us to survive as an Ummah, we need all of these things in the West. We need our Islamic schools, we need our Muslim hospitals, and we need our Muslim firms. And if you are not helping in this, then know that you're only leading towards the destruction of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. That having been said, in terms of preparation and planning, we need to realize that one of the first steps that we need to partake in, before we partake in any project, as we know, in terms of goals, there are those goals which are long term and those which are short term. And you yourself need to think about short term goals. Think about what would you like to do during each day. Do you try to think that you will pray at least one salah in the masjid each day? Do you try to think that maybe you will help out one poor person each day? Think about all the things that you can do in terms of short-term goals and try to achieve them. And this will uplift your confidence and this will make you more confident. And likewise, this will increase your iman. And likewise, it will give you an idea of the state of the people. When you come to the masjid, you see Muslims of all different backgrounds. The rich, the poor, the Arabs, the Pakistanis, the English-speaking, the non-English-speaking, the French-speaking, the non-French-speaking. This is how you mix with people and see the state of the people. And likewise, when you meet with poor people and you give them something to eat and something to drink, you converse with them, see what their situation is, see how you can improve it. Think about all the poor Muslims in Montreal. How can you help them? And amongst them are so many Muslims. Go to areas in downtown, areas such as Masjid Ummah and Masjid Fatima and all these areas, and you have Muslims who are literally dying without food, who are in a state of poverty, yet there's no one to help them. Because again, we don't have Muslim soup kitchens. Brothers and sisters, this is something to think about. That is something for the short term. Now thinking long term, how do we improve the state of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the long term? Women in our society, and in our nation, and in our history, have always played an important role. But it is sadly said in our times that Muslim men and women are equals. And rather creating a sense of competition amongst one another. This is not how the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is supposed to think. Men and women are not competing with one another for positions in this dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them distinct. Each of them has separate responsibilities. Yet it is sadly when men and women compete with one another for positions that they forget about greater objectives. If you think about all the great men of this ummah, there was always a woman by their side. Take the example of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he first received revelation and he was in a state of panic and he didn't know what to do, who was it that granted him comfort and peace? It was none other than Khadija. And likewise, the state of the famous Sahabi, Anas ibn Malik. It was his mother at the age of 9 years old that she went to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "Take my son as your servant so he can help you and be educated." And likewise, when you look at Imam al-Shafi'i, who was it that sent him to the desert to study the Arabic language? It was none other than his mother. When you look at Imam al-Bukhari, he was born with blindness. And who was it that made dua, O Allah, alleviate him from his blindness, and thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away his blindness? It was none other than his mother. And likewise, who was it when Musa alayhi salam was about to be killed, yet his mother took him and sought refuge for him? It was his mother. Brothers and sisters, our women play a very key role in our society. And they are not meant to compete with men, and men are not meant to compete with women. But rather, they complement one another, and they supplement one another. And this is the state that it's supposed to be in. And it is very sad to see that our women are no longer being educated. That we don't have facilities specifically for our women. We have halaqat in the masjid, yet they're only for the brothers. There are schools that we have, yet we give preference to the males over the females. And other things as well. If we do not take the time to educate our women, know that we're not only harming our women, but we're harming our ummah as a whole. Because if you want your children to have proper tarbiyah, the women who give them the tarbiyah have to have that tarbiyah as well. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives us a parable in the Qur'an. In Surah Al-Tahrim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِمْرَأَةَ فِرْعَوْنَ إِذْ قَالَتْ. That indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives forth a parable for the believers. And this parable is not just for the women, but it is for the believers as a whole. He says, we have sent forth the parable of the wife of Fir'aun, that when she said, رَبِّبْنِ لِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَنَجِّنِي مِنْ فِرْعَوْنَ وَنَجِّنِي مِنْ فِرْعَوْنَ وَقَوْمِهِ وَنَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. That, O Allah, build for me a house with you in Jannah. That, O Allah, build for me next to you a house in Jannah, and save me from Fir'aun and his oppression, and save me from the people who are oppressive. This is an example for all of the believers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts forth. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have put forth the example of a prophet. He could have put forth the example of a wise man in history. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose a woman in particular to show us the importance of the woman and the role she is supposed to play. Now look at the example of the wife of Fir'aun. She was someone who lived under the most tyrannical of rulers. Yet when the truth came to her, she accepted it and she did not hesitate. The wife of Fir'aun, she could have had all the luxuries of this world. Fir'aun was one of the richest people mankind has ever known. Yet, when Musa alayhi salam came with the truth of Islam, and accepting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as her Lord, the one to be worshipped alone, she accepted it and abandoned the riches of Fir'aun. And she stuck with the truth. And this is an example of the tarbiyah we're supposed to give to our women. That there are people who are courageous, that even though they wear hijabs and they cover themselves, we do not deprive them of their courage, but rather we encourage them to be courageous and speak out in front of oppression and seek the truth, even if it means that they may lose something. And such was the example of the wife of Fir'aun. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say in the 12th ayah of Surah Al-Tahrim, and we put forth the example of Maryam, the one who protected her chastity. And this is another example. Brothers and sisters, when our wives and our daughters and our sisters go to school over here, they seek two things. The education system seeks two things from them. One is to take away their modesty and their chastity. That you look in the situation in France, the situation in Turkey, they banned the hijabs in education facilities. And the second thing they seek is to corrupt their thought process. That they want them to think that Muslim women are oppressed. But Muslim women are not oppressed, they are rather honored. It is our deficiency as men that we don't take the time to educate our women. Our daughters when they are young, we don't instill that courage in them. We don't instill the love of the deen in them. This is our deficiency as men. And this is why our women turn out the way they are. And that is why our women have become busy with shopping and talking and gossiping and being busy on the phone and watching TV all day. It is our deficiency as men when we do not do our jobs that they come out in that state. Brothers and sisters, for those of you who have been following the news, several weeks back, there was this woman and she auctioned something off for $3.5 million. Now when you think about it, not even gold is auctioned for that much. Not even artifacts from the 14 and 1300s are auctioned off for that much. Do you know what she auctioned off, brothers and sisters? And prepare yourself for this, because indeed it is something very, very disturbing. She auctioned off her virginity. She auctioned off that very gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told her to protect and preserve. She auctioned it off for $3.5 million. This is the type of society that we live in, brothers and sisters. And if we do not protect our women, we do not protect our sisters and our daughters and educate them and encourage them to lead chaste lifestyles, and we do not educate them to be courageous and honorful, brothers and sisters, we lead our own doom. This is something very important to think about. That we need to start planning in the short term and in the long term. In the short term, what can we do each day to improve the state of the ummah? We can help our brothers and sisters. We can try to come to the masajid. In the long term, I just mentioned one example. We need to start educating our sisters and providing facilities for them. If they need a place to hang out together and have sports activities, we need to provide Muslim gyms for them so they have that seclusion. If they want to go swimming, we need swimming pools for them. If they want to go to the gym, we need gyms for them. If they want to further their education, we need Muslim schools. If they are sick, if they need some sort of medical help, we need those Muslim schools for them. Brothers and sisters, take it upon yourself to think about these things. And know that you do not live just for the day, but rather you live for the long term. And your life will continue even on in the hereafter. And if you do not prepare for your akhirah, then your dunya is doomed as well. And I remind you of a great commandment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded and started with Himself. When he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم اغفر لحينا وميتنا وشاهدنا وغائبنا وصغيرنا وكبيرنا وذكرنا وأنثانا وإذا أحييت أحدا منا فأحيي على الإسلام وإذا توفيت أحدا منا فتوفاه على الإيمان اللهم عنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم إنا نسألك بأسمائك الحسنى وصفاتك العلى أن تنصر إخواننا المستضعفين في كل مكان اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في كل مكان اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في كل مكان اللهم عز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم عز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم عز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم إنا نعوذ برضاك من سخطك وبمعافاتك من عقوبتك وبك منك ولا نحصي الثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك وصلى اللهم وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد